Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, it's Jack. I'm reading the Fort Stockton Pioneer for Thursday, July 14th, 2022. Ballistic Film Purchase Approved by Nathan Heuer. All student attended Fort Stockton ISD campuses will have an added layer of safety by the time the 23 school year arrives. Ballistic film will be installed at the Apache, Alamo, Intermediate, Middle School, and High School campuses within the next 4 weeks. The FSISD School Board approved the ballistic film purchase from Surveillance Analytics, who's based out of Houston. The total cost of the film, installation, and replacement of specific windows is $137,681. The school district was able to bypass the bid process since Surveillance Analytics and Fort Stockton ISD are members of the TASB co-op. The result, the Fort Stockton ISD will have ballistic film covering all their reachable windows by the time the school starts this upcoming school year on August the 8th. The biggest thing with this company is that they are a member of the TASB co-op, of which we are a member. We can approve this bid and move forward with getting our campuses protected before the start of the school year, Superintendent Zamora said. This is covering every campus and every window that is at reachable level. So if there's something that is way up top that somebody isn't able to get into without a ladder, then that's not included. But there are very few of those windows in the district. The total cost of the job, which was approved by the school board at a special meeting on July 11th, was approximately $15,000 cheaper than Surveillance Analytics' original estimate. Zamora stated at Monday's meeting that there are a handful of windows in the district that will be replaced during the process. The replacement of those windows was necessary to successfully complete the film installation and was included in the estimate. The film will provide an additional benefit outside of intrusion prevention due to the tint of the material. The tint of the film will help reduce utility expense and make it more difficult to be seen through. That tint reduces by 46% the intake of the windows. It makes it a little bit more obscure for people to look from the outside in. This is kind of a two-for-one deal and will also assist in keeping the buildings a little cooler. The security investment by the district is the second six-figure item that has been approved by the district in the last 2 weeks. The district will spend $130,000 on the school resource officers compared to last year's expense, shifting from three SROs to five. Including the $137,000 cost for ballistic film, the district has invested a total of $237,000 to further improve the safety of their students as of June 30th. During a severe thunderstorm, on May 10th, part of the Fort Stockton Recreation Center roof was blown off by winds that reached at least 65 miles per hour. The replacement of that roof has now been set into motion after the approval of a quote by the school board's special meeting on July 11th. Fort Stockton ISD's maintenance department added in debris removal and in turn helped bring the cost of the job below $50,000 limit. Hartman Roofing, Inc. out of San Angelo had an original quote to complete the installation of the new roof and remove the debris of the previously damaged roof. Zamora stated that debris removal of the maintenance staff cut the cost of the debris removal by Hartman Roofing approximately in half and will result in the job being below $50,000. Hartman Roofing's quote came in at $26,500, lower than Roof Inc.'s quote. Texas Water Trade unveils Aquifer Protection Fund. Texas Water Trade, a nonprofit organization established to enable the use of voluntary water transactions to benefit people and nature, has unveiled its first Aquifer Protection Fund to allow landowners to conserve their groundwater without losing ownership. The fund will pay landowners to invest in water efficiency measures that can leave more groundwater in storage while maintaining profitable operations. The first user of the fund is Building Farms of Fort Stockton, which received $100,000 in May to help install a pilot high-efficiency irrigation system for its pecan orchard to reduce pumping from the aquifer for 15 years. If the pilot performs well, the efficient system could be expanded to the full 2,200-acre farm. We're proud to be a part of this historic agreement, which builds on an emerging effort to conserve groundwater through financial incentives, Ernest Cockrell, chairman of the investment partners, said. This type of voluntary agreement can be replicated across the state to benefit groundwater right holders and the state as a whole. A major impediment to groundwater conservation is the risk of losing ownership rights if usage falls before permitted amounts. The fund includes protection against forfeiture of those rights under the rules of the Middle Pecos Groundwater Conservation District, which regulates groundwater production in the county. The Aquifer Protection Fund will use $1.25 million committed by the Natural Resources Conservation Service, the Texas Water Development Board, and the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation to attract corporate, government, and philanthropic funds to finance conservation agreements in the West Texas aquifer. Texas Water Trade aims to expand the fund to include water offset contracts with companies in agriculture, beverage, data, energy, and hospitality in Pecos County. An increasing number of companies operating in Texas have pledged to net out their water demands through investments in water conservation in the rivers and aquifers where they source their water. Texas Water Trade is a provider of verifiable water offsets. In addition, Texas Water Trade will explore other forms of funding, such as investment capital and commitments for municipal water users in the Middle Pecos Groundwater Conservation District. Voluntary agreements to preserve and conserve and protect groundwater are an important tool for investing in Texas' long-term water security. The majority of Texas groundwater resources are being managed for unsustainable planned depletion. This protection fund demonstrates that nonprofits, private landowners, and other stakeholders can collaborate to enhance water resilience for all users. Eligible activities for Texas Water Trade's Aquifer Protection Fund include efficiency upgrades of irrigation systems, reoperation of agricultural activities to cut water demands while keeping acreage in production, and leasing and purchasing of water rights for dedication to the aquifer. More water left in the aquifer increases its reliability of supply and quality of water produced. The aquifer is the primary source of Comanche Springs, which was the sixth largest spring in Texas until it stopped flowing in 1961 due to a significant increase in the groundwater production. The Edwards Trinity is one of Texas' major aquifers and provides drinking water and agricultural irrigation across West Texas. The Comanche Springs Management Zone supports all of the drinking water for the city of Fort Stockton and irrigation for more than 12,000 acres of farmland, including Building Farms, one of the state's largest pecan growing operations. In the coming years, the Comanche Springs Management Zone is anticipated to experience growing demands for drinking water for other West Texas cities. TWT created the Aquifer Protection Fund to enable current and future water users in Pecos County to collectively invest in the aquifer's long-term health and sustainability. To learn more about Texas Water Trade's work to enable voluntary water transactions across Texas for the benefit of people and nature, see www.texaswatertrade.org. Cosmetology Innovative Courses set for 2223. The Fort Stockton ISD Cosmetology Program will receive a reboot this upcoming school year after receiving $150,000 from a fund balance by way of approval from the school board earlier this month. The school district approved mandatory courses per TEA to continue to move forward with the program during their meeting on June 30th. The following are the five courses that were approved: microbiology and safety for cosmetology careers, nail care, enhancements, and spa services, ethics N 130-2533, barbering 1 NI 302-534, and barbering 2 N 130-2535. Helping in a time of need. In order to lend a helping hand to one of their own, the Fort Stockton ISD approved developmental leave for one of their teachers who has a daughter battling cancer. Band Director Lindsay Kilgore, who has been working at Fort Stockton ISD for over 5 years, received developmental leave approval from the district at their regular board meeting. The approval will result in one semester of full pay. Kilgore's daughter is currently being battling cancer and receiving treatment in Dallas, according to information given in the meeting. The little girl is fighting cancer and she's one of our own, Zamora said. She is our family, and I recommend that under these exceptional circumstances we place Mrs. Lindsay on developmental leave. She's working with Mr. Alvarado to come up with a plan that will be appropriate and possibly do some Zoom assignments with some of our kids when it's possible. Zamora added that Kilgore stated her family is optimistic about returning for the spring semester when the treatment is complete. Your guide to local places to go and things to do. Water Carnival will be held from Thursday, July 14th to Saturday, July 16th. Samuel Chastain will perform at the Live at Zero Stone Concert Series on Friday, July 15th. The Reunion Festival in Fort Stockton will take place at the Fort Stockton Convention Center on Saturday, July 16th at 6 p.m. Live music and vendors will be featured. The Summer Off the Patio concert series at the Annie Riggs Museum continues on Thursday, July 21st with live music by Kimmy Bitter starting at 7 p.m. Full Blown Pro Wrestling is scheduled to hold an event at the Fort Stockton Convention Center on Saturday, July 23rd at 6 p.m. Fort Stockton Community Theater presents Barefoot in the Park from Friday, July 22nd to Sunday, July 24th, and from Thursday, July 28th to Saturday, July 30th.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Monahans News for Thursday, July 7th. Monahans gets wet, finally. 4th of July fireworks show postponed. The story was written by Christy Sullivan and Jan Cranfield. The much-needed rain in the county on Monday put a damper on fireworks festivities scheduled for dusk on July 4th, as officials had to postpone the annual event after about 2 inches of rain fell in parts of Monahans beginning around 7 p.m. The setting for the fireworks, the Million Barrel, had at least 2 inches of standing rain in the barrel, which didn't allow for the fireworks to be set up. Quote, "We tried setting the fireworks up in different areas of the barrel and even contacted the Mr. Fireworks Company, who said the fireworks would not go off properly if set off under the wet conditions we had on Monday, so the decision was made to postpone the show until a later date," Monahans Chamber of Commerce Director Teresa Burnett said. The Chamber of Commerce announced around 7:45 p.m. on Monday night that their fireworks display had been postponed and would be held at a later date. During last week's Ward County Commissioners meeting, the court approved a declaration of disaster for Ward County, which stated Ward County is under imminent threat of severe damage, injury, or loss of life or property resulting from the threat of wildfires due to drought and other weather-related conditions. Ward County Judge Greg Holley determined the need for extraordinary measures to be taken. Quote, "City and county officials have joined together not to deprive people of holiday customs, but to try to protect residents' property from burning," Holley said. Holley received word from Governor Greg Abbott last Wednesday and the burn ban and fireworks ban has been extended for the city of Monahans and Ward County until Tuesday, July 5th. Monahans did receive some rain last week, but according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration forecaster Jim DeBerry, quote, it would take 1 inch of rain every week through September to start to reverse the drought, end quote. The Keach-Byram Drought Index shows Monahans is experiencing extreme drought conditions, and Ward County is one of the driest in the state. The scale measurement is from 0 to 200 water balance as the wettest areas, up to 700 to 800 as the driest. Ward County measures in the 700 to 800, which is extremely dry, according to KBDI. Rainstorms came again on Tuesday, beginning around 5 p.m., lasting until around 9 p.m. In some parts of town, rain measurements reported from around Monahans were from almost 2 inches to only a light sprinkle, which didn't get the ground wet. Areas south of Monahans, around Grand Falls, received almost 5 inches of the much-needed rain. No rainfall measurement was available from Monahans City Hall because of an inoperable rain gauge. Quote, the rain gauge on top of City Hall is broken and needs to be fixed, City Manager Rex Thee said. Ward County Precinct 2 Commissioner Larry Hanna said, quote, hard to light rainfall for about 2 hours on the east side of Monahans. Precinct 3 Commissioner Dexter Nichols, which runs south toward Grand Falls, received hard rainfall during Tuesday evening storm, but no exact amounts were available for that precinct. Quote, we only received a light sprinkle of rain on the west side, not enough to wet the ground, Precinct 4 Commissioner Eddie Nelm said. Precinct 1 Commissioner Tino Sanchez was unavailable by phone to offer a rain update concerning his precinct. Quote, the areas around Monahans, Wink, Pecos, and Odessa did not receive measurable rainfall during Monday or Tuesday evening storms. There was a 30% chance for more rain on Wednesday, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration forecaster Michelle Shunt said. Deputies nab suspect in pipe theft. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. Ward County Sheriff's deputies recently arrested a man believed to have stolen 80 joints of pipe taken from Wicket in April. Artemio Nunez Silvas, age 43, of 4101 South Gale Street, is accused of the theft after an investigation led to his identification and arrest last week. According to Ward County Sheriff Frerin Valle, quote, on April 19th, deputies investigated the theft of pipe in the 100 block of East Spur 57 and Wicket, where they discovered 80 joints of pipe were taken from the address. The pipe was valued at over $4,500. Through the course of the investigation, deputies discovered Silvas was responsible for the stealing of the pipe. An arrest warrant was issued for Silvas, and he was subsequently arrested on the warrant in Ector County. Silvas was transported back to the Ward County Jail on Friday, July 1st, and charged with theft of property greater than $2,500, less than $30,000, a state jail felony. Bond for Silvas was posted at $7,500. He posted the bond and was released. The offense can be punishable by imprisonment in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for any term of not more than 2 years or less than 180 days and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Illegal dumping still on the rise. The story was written by Jan Cranfield. Illegal dumping in the county is still a major problem, according to Ward County Sheriff's Deputy Mike Dominguez. A report came into the Ward County Sheriff's Department of a mattress lying in the middle of the road in the 1500 block of South Ursula on Tuesday. Along with the mattress Dominguez located 4 5-gallon buckets filled with oil and prickly pear cactus clippings, illegally dumped, located at the same intersection on the side of the road. Quote, "When I got here, I saw 2 different vehicles with handicapped license plates have to drive around the mattress. The mattress being dumped in the middle of the road makes it become a road hazard as well as dumped trash," Dominguez said. Dominguez made a call to the county for assistance in removing the road hazard. Quote, "I had to call the county for help to remove the mattress from the roadway. These guys and their equipment had to be pulled off of another road job to help me out. That's wasting our taxpayers' money," he said. Illegally dumping oil is a felony crime and is an extreme environmental hazard. Quote, "1 liter of oil, which is about 4 cups of oil, will contaminate 3,784 meters, or almost an acre of soil. The contamination will remain for 100 years and kills vegetation, even mesquites, as well as wildlife, ranch animals, and birds," Dominguez said. Dominguez added, quote, "The county does not and is not responsible for cleaning up any illegal dumping in the bar ditches, fields, road shoulders, or other county areas. Disposing of trash in the form of furniture, tires, oil, household garbage, construction waste, tree limbs, other plants, etc., is strictly the owner's responsibility," end quote. The county has installed cameras around the county and is in the process of installing even more cameras to catch illegal dumpers. If illegally dumped trash causes an injury to a person, the person who dumped illegally is responsible for the damages and can be charged accordingly, Dominguez said. Dominguez has written 15 tickets and arrested 2 persons for illegally dumping in the county over the last year. The charges range from a misdemeanor to felony charges that can involve jail time. Quote, "If people don't quit dumping anywhere they please, we will be living in a cesspool of trash," he said. "I sincerely want to express my thanks to the precinct commissioners, Judge Holly, and the county employees who have never failed to help me when I call for help," Dominguez said. "Anyone with any information as to who was involved in this dumping incident is urged to please call the Ward County Sheriff's Department at 432-943-6703. Ortiz sentenced to prison after defaulting on probation. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. 143rd Judicial District Judge Mike Swanson ordered Richard Damian Carrasco Ortiz, age 25, of Monahans, to 7 years confinement in the Institutional Division of Texas Department of Criminal Justice for manufacturing, delivery of a controlled substance, penalty group 1, greater than 4 grams, less than 200 grams, a first-degree felony, and 5 years on a charge of unlawful possession of firearm by a felon, a third-degree felony, on June 28th. Ortiz waived his right to a jury trial and pleaded guilty to the December 2019 charge of manufacturing delivery on April 27, 2021, which he was indicted for on February 27, 2020. Judge Swanson sentenced him to serve 10 years confinement, probated for 8 years. A fine of $1,500 was also imposed, and Ortiz was assessed court costs of $355 and $180 in restitution, as well as given credit for 505 days. At the time of the 2019 incident, Monahans Police Department Captain Christopher Quintana said, quote, "Officer Guzman responded to a call of a disturbance in the 700 block of South Alice Street. Officer Guzman observed Ortiz trying to fight with a black female. Ortiz was detained, and officers learned Ortiz broke into a vehicle at 715 South Main Street. Quote, Ortiz was seen breaking into the vehicle by the owner and who he was apparently fighting around the corner when Officer Guzman arrived on the scene, Quintana said. Ortiz was also found to be in possession of marijuana as well as in the possession of methamphetamine packaged up as to sell, he added. Under a probated sentence, the defendant will be sentenced to a set amount of jail or prison time, which will be suspended. The defendant must report to a probation officer for a set amount of time, pay fines and court costs, and comply with all the conditions of probation. Ortiz defaulted on the terms of his probation on August 29, 2021, when, according to an indictment, Ortiz was found to be in possession of a firearm before the fifth anniversary of his release from community supervision following conviction of the felony. Ortiz again waived his right to a jury trial and pleaded guilty to the charge of unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon. A fine of $3,000 was imposed, and Ortiz was assessed court costs of $748 and $180 in restitution, as well as given credit for 1,038 days. Randall Reynolds served as attorney for the state on the case. Arizona man arrested for stealing forklift from Piute. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. A man from Arizona was arrested after allegedly stealing a forklift from an oil field site in Piute. On Tuesday, June 28th, at approximately 1:50 p.m., Ward County Sheriff's Office received a call in reference to an individual stealing a forklift from a location north of Piute. According to Ward County Sheriff Ferran Valle, the caller provided a description of a U-Haul truck and U-Haul trailer with a vehicle on the back of the trailer was heading south toward Piute. Deputies located the vehicle east of Piute off of Spur 57 on Elise Road. Quote, deputies made contact with the sole occupant of the vehicle, identified as Cesar Rafael Anaya, age 33, of San Luis, Arizona, and placed him under arrest for theft of property greater than $30,000, less than $150,000, a third-degree felony. The stolen forklift was valued at over $90,000. Quote, during an inventory of the vehicle, a crystalline substance believed to be methamphetamine was located inside the U-Haul truck. The weight of the crystalline substance was over 8 grams, Valle said. Anaya was also charged with possession of controlled substance, penalty group 1, greater than 4 grams, less than 200 grams, a second-degree felony. Bond for Anaya was set at $10,000 for the theft charge and $15,000 for the possession charge. Anaya posted the bond and was released. The offense can be punishable by imprisonment in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for any term of not more than 20 years or less than 2 years, and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Pondo sentenced to 3 years in prison after having meth in jail. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. An Odessa man was sentenced on June 28th to prison after having his probation revoked on a charge of possessing methamphetamine while in custody at the Ward County Jail in 2018. 143rd Judicial District Court Judge Mike Swanson revoked Brian Zubia Pondo, age 24, deferred adjudication, and ordered him to serve 3 years confinement in the Institutional Division of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. In 2019, Pondo waived his right to a jury trial and accepted a plea agreement to a charge of prohibited substance in a correctional facility, a third-degree felony, and was ordered to serve 4 years confinement in TDCJ, probated for 4 years. According to the indictment, Pondo was found to be in possession of methamphetamine while in custody at the Ward County Jail, while he was in custody on a charge of possession of a controlled substance, penalty group 3, greater than 28 grams, less than 200 grams. He was further ordered to pay $119 in restitution and given credit for 467 days credit for time served. Pondo was arrested again in June 2021 for defaulting on the terms of his probation after he was arrested by Odessa police and charged with possession of controlled substance penalty group 1, 1B, greater than 4 grams, less than 200 grams. Pondo also is delinquent $360 in fines and fees, as well as only completed 19.5 of the 175 community service hours ordered. Attorney for the state on the case was 143rd District Attorney Randall W. Reynolds and Assistant DA Alan Nicholas.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Far West Texas. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.